KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. I would very much like, on behalf of Mask, to wish everyone a good night and a good Ner Shabbos. And we are here from Mask for your families, anyone struggling with any mental health issues, kids that are still not placed in yeshivas and schools. Please feel free to give us a call at our confidential number, 718-758-0400. Mask is mothers and fathers aligned saving kids. So it's for kids of all ages and all stages and married children, too. It could be for yourself, a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Maybe you want to write our number down, do a mitzvah, pass it on to someone that may be struggling with mental health issues. And we are a referral organization for 22 years, and we are helping families towards getting healthy emotionally and mentally. So if anyone needs to write down our number, I'll repeat it. It is 718-758-0400. And again, an important community message. Every family should get trained to have a free naloxone kit in their home, not only for themselves, God forbid, they may need it for a loved one, a family member, themselves, where another family member could save a life, but maybe somebody on your block, a neighbor in your shul, and if you have one, you can save a life of anyone that will be overdosing, possibly on opioids. So please call the Mask Helpline, and we will get you trained and get you a free kit. Call us, 718-758-0400, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And yes, we're even open on Chol HaMoed. So this evening, I really want to welcome a longtime friend, a very dear friend, actually, wonderful woman, a colleague, a professional therapist, a community activist. I would like to welcome tonight, Freddie Ariella Yudkowsky. Welcome, a good night to you. How are you, Freddie?
Hi, Ruchama. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me here. Good Moed and happy holidays to everybody. It is such an honor to be here with you, Ruchama. As Ruchama says, we're dear friends. We go back a long time. And what I know from the work that Mask has been doing and is doing is literally life-saving and critical for our community, for our members, our families, our loved ones. And I didn't know that it was 22 years in existence. I knew Mask has been around a long time, but 22 years is a very long time. And if I'm correct, the Mask was one of the first, if not the first, organizations to come around and be doing this. So it's incredible that you still have that passion, Ruchama, and that energy, and you should have continued energy to continue running Mask and being there for us in our times of need. So thank you for having me,
okay.
And thank you all.
Amen. Thank you. And again, it's not just Ruchama. I always have to give a karsa tov to my staff that nothing is just one person. It's with wonderful staff that's always available to answer the phones and try and help families. So thank you, and thank you for all you do and always being available to families and to MASC, even in a minute's notice. So yash koach to all that you do, Frady.
Thank you.
So, Frady, it's Yontif, it's Chol HaMoed, and it's been a long, you know, couple weeks in a good way. When I say long, I mean it in a positive way. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom HaDin, and then celebration of 8 days of the holiday of Sukkot. And for some, it is absolutely an amazing, wonderful time of year. And then for others, like those that may be struggling, whether it's in recovery from alcohol or substance misuse, whether it's a single parent family with children home with one parent, maybe died young, lo aleinu, Hashem yishmar, or divorced families, kids of hope, high lifeline, the single adults that never were married as of yet, they should all get married this year. Or even folks that are new to Judaism, you know, it's been difficult for many people that I see on the streets and shul over Yom Tov with family at meals. Sure. People do talk about that. And we had Dr. Debbie Ackerman before Yom Tov talk about creating an environment for the Chagim, but we were talking about keeping the stress as low as possible, not worrying about, you know, how beautiful the decorations are hanging in the sukkah more than, you know, how our homes are. And I'm wondering now, we're going into Shabbos, we're going into the last 2 days, which are very powerful, very exciting, Simchas Torah. Mm-hmm. And for some, it's a big struggle for those that I've just mentioned. And I'm wondering, Frady, what is your suggestions to create an environment for the Chagim, for the holidays, that everyone feels welcome?
Sure, and I think this is critical, and I think the answer lies in the holiday of Sukkot itself. You know, we talk about the four species, the lulav and etrog, and the things that we, you know, we shake. We all know since we're kids, right, the things that we shake, and those are all different types, and all different, you know, fruits and plants and species, and that's exactly the message for us, that we're all welcome. All types are welcome. We're all welcome. So how do we make that practical for us, right? We talk about all the different dimensions and demographics within our community. So I would say, you know, firstly, number one, this should be alcohol-free Simchat Torah, Simchat Beis HaShoeva, alcohol-free meals, alcohol-free parties, locking up alcohol in shul. Shul should have some sort of policy and procedure in place, so that, you know, things are, alcohol is not lying around. So that would address people that are in recovery from alcohol misuse. Another thing that's important is when we see somebody walking into shul that we may not know, or even if we do know, just to remember to have a friendly smile and welcome without the obtrusive questions and comments and steers up and down. We all know what it feels like to be steered up and down. And even taking that a step further, maybe somebody's staying in your house or somebody joins your shul and they leave the middle of shul or they leave your home for a few hours. Now, they might be going to a recovery meeting or to a support group that's critical for them that they can get through the holiday, get through Sukkot and Simchas Torah. But by us pushing them, we can be creating a barrier and causing them shame. They might not want to and may not need to feel like they need to divulge the information where they're going, and that could be critical for them. So being friendly and welcoming without being obtrusive and questioning. And then I think a very important, offering assistance with concrete things. So you talk about single parent families and adults that may be single or have lost a loved one, God forbid, or things like that. Offering concrete examples. So the holiday is going to wrap up eventually. Who's taking down these sukkahs? Who is schlepping the heavy sukkah boards, the panels, the palm leaves, whatever it is? Who's taking the children to shul? On Simchat Torah, the kids want to go, they want to dance. Maybe the mom's not feeling well. Maybe she can't go alone. Who's going to take the children? So really offering assistance with very concrete things instead of just saying, oh, I'm available whenever you need. Well, we all know that, that's beautiful and there's good intention with that. And absolutely, but can we make it more concrete? Or people that are new to Judaism, maybe we have at our tables the Birkat HaMazon, the benchers with translation, or offering conversations with translating our words and making people feel more welcome. So these are just some ways we can have everybody feel welcome and part of the beautiful Chag that we love and that hopefully we can have others love as well.
Freddie, it's interesting how you mentioned about people, you know, offering families, single moms, single parents, families with people that are ill, you know, saying, what can I do for you? I know that I have a very, very dear friend who's very, very ill, Lo Aleinu, and I wish her and Kol Chol Ayam Yisrael a refuah shleima. But I know the family just said to me the other day that people say, what could we do for you? And their answer is, oh, it's okay, thank you, because they're uncomfortable asking for anything. So maybe a suggestion would be, is be more specific. Can I cook for you? I'm making, you know, food. Can I pick up your children to take them for Birchas Kohanim, for Davin, you know, whatever. Being more specific may be a good idea, because, or I'm going to the grocery, please give me a list, and this way I could save you a trip, you know,
exactly.
Things like that. You know, and what do we tell ourselves to make us feel more comfortable, Freddie, people that are going to shul or eating at home, spending time with family when we feel like we don't belong in shul? Because maybe the community and maybe the family has issues. And what do you want to tell the people for themselves about how they could ground themselves? I mean, like, for instance, they're giving an opportunity to people to be doing Hachnasas Arachim, which is tremendous. So what other tips can you give to those families that are on the receiving end?
Sure. Sure. So firstly, regarding I think this is such a huge question, and I'm definitely not going to be able to cover it fully in a couple minutes, but I'll do my best. But first, at an individual level, what we can tell ourselves individually is that we have to know that regardless of, you know, how others view me, right? So there's a saying, clothing makes the man. And I like to add, clothing makes the man, but the fear of how others see our clothing breaks the human. And there's that very big piece of that a lot of us have, that the way we perceive ourselves is often our projection of how others see us. And we don't really know how others see us. We may come into shul looking a little different than other people. And at the same time, we have to remember that each of us are individuals, beloved child of God, a valued member of the community, and a treasured individual. And again, we all, you know, there were 12 shvatim, 12 tribes that God created. And with that, there are 12 paths to Judaism and Yiddishkeit. God didn't create us all the same. And God, I don't know if I have the authority to say God doesn't want us all the same, but clearly he didn't create us all the same because there are 12 paths and 12 tribes. So we have to remember that when we walk into shul and we are part of a community, we're not all supposed to look the same. We're not all supposed to be feeling the same and thinking the same and dressing the same and being the same. We are meant to be different. We're created differently. And to retain that compassion for ourselves and that belovedness that we each have in the eyes of God, our loving Father, and hopefully that can transpire into how we view ourselves and can help us when we are with, you know, in our schools and in our communities and in our families. And more than that, you know, our family, the situations that we're put in, you know, is that our loving Father gave us these situations. We just spoke about on the high holidays in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that God knows our situation. God knows all our thoughts. He knows our struggles. He knows our desires, temptations, fears, challenges, illness. He knows everything. And He wants us to do the best that we can do. And He loves us more than any human possibly can. Now, these things sound maybe very lofty in, you know, ideals, but really it's the way that we need to start. And I'm talking to myself too. We all need to start feeling this way, that we are treasured, valuable children of Hashem, of our loving Father. And it's okay if we may be different. It's okay that we may be struggling. Maybe it doesn't feel okay and we could be really hurting and there could be a lot of stuff going on. And at the same time, we're valued members of God and subsequently of our communities and shuls. So that can be a little way of maybe changing our view of ourselves and our families and our situations. Maybe that can help us when we enter situations that may be very difficult. And that's not to minimize the discomfort.
Absolutely. And I want to go on to another issue, how many meals that we thank God, Baruch Hashem, we're lucky to have, you know, between the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, 8 days the holiday now, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, three, you know, real meal, the kids are home, you have three wholesome meals for 8 days straight now. That's a lot of meals for moms.
Yes.
And some dads helping in the kitchen. And so what are some of the ways? I mean, we're almost at the, you know, coming towards Shabbos tomorrow. And then, so we have two more meals, and we have a break Sunday morning, and then we have Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday.
Sure.
So what are some of the ways that you recommend now towards the end of Yontif coming up to de-stress throughout Yontif? But I want to add to that question, and I want to say, how can some support their loved ones that are possibly struggling with eating disorders and disordered eating throughout our Yontif season?
Sure. Sure. So let me respond first to the second part of the question, the supporting our loved ones with eating disorders and disordered eating. And with that, you know, firstly, I think it's very important, and everybody should be aware of this, not to comment on people's size, people's looks. Oh, you look so good. How much weight did you lose? Right. So often for so many of us, that's the first thing that really comes out of some of our mouths, you know, is focusing on that. But really, who matters? It's not the size that matters. It's who that person is that matters. And having variety of food options available, because people may have varied food requirements or needs. And things like not pushing anyone to try something new or tempt them with something, or you must finish your plate, right? Things like that, maybe even plattering food as opposed to individual servings. So these are just some suggestions that everybody can do. We all can do this just to make it more comfortable for people that may be dealing with, you know, food and eating difficulties. And regarding ways we can de-stress throughout Yontif, so I love to use Sukkot for inspiration for this. So firstly, with the five senses, right? We all know five senses can be a great way to ground. So with sight, some of us have decorations, we have wood panels, we have nature. The smell, the sense of the four species, the lulav, the esrog, being outside, the sound of singing, the palm leaves and the wind, touch, holding the lulav and esrog, the taste. Now for some people, taste might not be the best way to ground and de-stress, but it could even be mouthwash or a little bit of honey or some hot soup, or, you know, coffee. And then, of course, nature, the power of nature, being outdoors. Take advantage of that. Do some breathing outdoors. Take a moment to just be with yourself. Movement, right? We shake the lulav and esrog. Maybe we need to move ourselves a little bit, making time to go for that run or for that walk. Have fun, right? We dance in Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Simchas Torah. We dance a lot. Find some way to have fun. And maybe that could be with guests, right? We call in the seven of Shpizin over Sukkot. So maybe inviting someone that we love to spend time with them, or who brings good energy, so, and having fun with them. And then when we bang the Hoshana, so that species that we bang, maybe that can be like a reminder for us to banging off and shaking off our hurt. And then we turn to the sukkah itself, that hut that we sit in for the 8 days. It's a container. if that's really what it is, it's a container to hold our space. So maybe we can take that as a metaphor, and we can contain our stuff. Stuff will come up. Stuff comes up for all of us. And when I say stuff, we can all fill in the blanks with whatever that stuff is. But contain our stuff until we can deal with it more effectively after Chag, whether that's with a rabbi or a therapist or a mentor. So contain it and temporary. Know that everything that we endure is temporary, just like the sukkah is a temporary dwelling. And above all, it's a journey. The Jews sojourned in the desert. There was a journey. And life is a journey. I know that things will get difficult. Things will get stressful. But if we can use our five senses, use the movement, use the containing and the guests and having fun and all that, and know that this is all part of our journey. And that's it. We're on a journey.
We are indeed. It's a journey. And let's just hope and pray that everybody should have an easy, wonderful, meaningful, full of nachas and good health, emotional, mentally, amen, physically, the best journey ever, with lots of parnassas come easily and plentiful. And b'simcha, that's what we need to, amen, pray, you know, that everybody is blessed this year with. I'd like to touch on something, amen, a little bit uncomfortable, and that is, we're so excited about Simchas Beis Sho'eva, the dancing every night in the streets, and now Simchas Torah, two more days. It's just unbelievable to be around, the feeling in the ear tonight, last night, every night during this special holiday. But I need to bring up something that is so important to ensure the safety of our children during shul, during Simchas Beis Sho'eva, during Simchas Torah. What message do you want to leave my listeners with about making sure that while you're in shul, your kids are safe, while you're on the street, your kids are safe, that they're not touched inappropriately, that nothing happens to them that could affect them the rest of their lives? Sure. What message do you want to give, please?
Sure. I mean, this is so, so huge. And I think that we need to do the best we can. And I think with that, with the we, it's us as parents, us as adults, us as shul, as a board member, as executive directors. We need to have policies and procedures in place. There are things that children should not be alone. They should not be alone inside, outside, or in washrooms. There should be, if there's staff hired, the hire should be vetted, glass windows, open shades, and, you know, knowing as parents, knowing where our children are, knowing who they're with, having open communication with them, that they can feel comfortable coming to us and telling us and sharing with us whatever and whenever. They shouldn't be afraid to knock on our door in the middle of the night saying, I'm having a nightmare, this is what's going on for me, or I'm shaking, I can't sleep, you know, and sitting down with the child and you know, figuring out what's been going on for them. And I think that, you know, and we have to do the best we can. And if your shul doesn't have structure in place, if you're a parent that may not have yet sat down with your children, now's the time to do so. It's not too late for a shul board to put in policies. It's never too late to talk to your children. So these are things that must be done. And I use the word must because it is a must. We cannot afford to lose any more lives. And I will say, just as far as the safety thing, veering off a little bit, just to remember things like food allergies, remember things, you know, safety as far as physical safety, you know, there's so many components to the children who are diabetic, not feeding other children, things if you don't know if they have, you know, allergies or what their medical situation is. So there's so much involved here that schools and parents and adults should be aware of when we're dealing with loved ones, our precious children, who are the future of our people.
Yes, and for those that don't feel the experience of joy when they go to the synagogue or shul, maybe they were hurt from the religious community or their own community or certain people, you know, what do you want to say to them? I mean, it's about going to synagogue every day. I mean, you know, if you have a loved one that's struggling and, you know, every day everybody's going to synagogue, you know, we're going to go for the morning prayer, we're going to go for the afternoon prayer, we're going to go for the night prayer. What do you want to tell them how to experience joy when, you know, communities, people, community people, not a community, community people, people that are maybe family members or somebody in their synagogue may have touched them when they're mikvah or in their school, a teacher, sure. maybe. So how do you, what message do you want to give them to experience, how they could experience the joy of Torah in such situations, please?
Sure. And so here I'm going to turn to the quote that I heard from my mentor, Rabbi A.Y. Weinberg from Project Extreme, where he talks a lot in Camp Extreme, where I was there for many years as a volunteer, building positive experiences to negate negative ones. We need to find the places where we can go, where we can have that joy, because it's some rabbis, it's not religion, it's some Jews, it's not Judaism, and it's some teachers, not Torah. Religion, Judaism, God, the Torah, that's all just. And of course, like in every denomination and everywhere, there are going to be the people that are going to hurt. And that's inevitable because that's part of exile and that's what we live with. But if we can find the shul, find the community, find the place to go, maybe there's a shul that talks to us a lot more than something else. Or maybe it's not going to shul. Maybe it's going to a support group instead or just having a singing session. That's fine too, a meditation group, you know, with like-minded individuals. Finding ways that we can experience joy from purpose, meaning, giving to others, and of course giving to ourselves, and giving to ourselves, you know, having gratitude, self-compassion, recognizing our resilience, having somebody that we can trust and turn to, and remember that it's not, you know, the entire firm community or God or the Torah right. that has hurt us, it's some individuals.
Right, so we're running out of time. I do want to publicly thank Mondragos, Rabbi Silver, his amazing staff, his board, for doing a wonderful program for the high holidays. We're booked hotel of, if somebody didn't feel like going to the prayers, they also offered other areas, like you mentioned, meditation, et cetera, groups, 12-step meetings. So special yashar koach to them. So, Freddie, quickly, in less than a minute, how do you, what do you recommend to take the goodness from the Yom Tov season and carry it with us in the months to come, please?
Sure. And I think that for each of us, that's different. We need to all figure out, find within ourselves one thing from the holiday season that we can sit with and embody and take with us and draw right. sustenance from. Some people, it might be a hug from a grandchild, the decoration they worked hard on, the smell of the esrog. Find one thing, one moment, one action, one loved one, a comment from a loved one or something that we can take with us and for the dreary, possibly winter months ahead, depending which state you're in.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Freddie. We had with us tonight the wonderful Freddie Arielle Yudkowsky. A yash koach to you. I want to wish you a very, very good Yom Tov also, and I hope you're relaxing. You're always so involved with the klal. So yash koach to you. And I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening, a very special good Mayid, very wonderful good Shabbos, a beautiful Simchas Torah, a safe one. Watch the alcohol, please. Watch the kids and the alcohol, please. And thank you, Freddie. I want to say, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to thank you as well, Rachama. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here with you tonight. And I want to wish everybody in the community at large just a beautiful, really happy, joyous holiday and journey. Amen. Continue on the journey. And thank you again so much. And it's been a pleasure.
Amen to you, to everyone, to Klal Yisroel. And I just want to say, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night and a good Mayid. Thank you.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.